is time to begin our evening service. The focus is still upon intercessory prayer for God to move in us and through us, and to move in our world, to move in our nation, to move in Jerusalem. We're told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and most people have so many personal needs that we forget that we are actually told in Scripture to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And oh, how those people long for Shiloh to come. They long for the one that can only give peace to show up. And they're looking for a Messiah that has already come once and is soon coming again. Amen. But we need to pray for those folks. They're under the gun constantly, literally under the gun. They are the centerpiece of biblical prophecy. And the world right now is shaken by events that take place in this little piece of land about the size of New Jersey. Incredible time to be living when so many prophecies are being fulfilled so very, very quickly. So we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem as we pray tonight. We need to pray for kings and those that are in authority, according to the Word of God, that we may live a peaceable life. If this nation is led further into idolatry and sin, then we're going to reap the consequences as a nation, and it will affect you and it will affect me. Amen. We need to pray for kings in authority in the governmental area, but we need to also pray for people who stand behind these desks, the sacred desks tonight. Amen. That God would lead ministers to lead the church properly and correctly. We've got a lot of different attitudes out there in Christianity today, a lot of different doctrine floating around. Many, multiple thousands of Christians dealing with the temporal and the material instead of the spiritual and the eternal. We're seeing a fulfillment of prophecy, a falling away from the faith that was once delivered. There's something new happening now. Actually, it's old, but it wasn't prevalent. It was in one church of the seven, the church of Laodicea. And if you want to take and read that sometime, the last of the seven churches of Asia, compare it to the message of many churches today, you will find an exact replication of the church Jesus said was lukewarm and would be spewed out of his mouth. Literally, it said it made him sick and it would be spewed out of his mouth. We don't want to ever get in a condition like that today. Amen. So we've got a lot to pray about tonight. We need to pray for our families. We need to pray for our loved ones. We need to pray for people that without intercession will surely be consumed and surely be lost. Some through intercession are like firebrands plucked out of the fire. That means they're already on fire. They're already under the wrath of God. But intercession can pluck them out of that fire. It's not too late for anybody that's still living and breathing on this planet. Praise God. So I'm looking forward to praying for those things tonight. And there's different spirits of prayer that come. Sometimes it's quiet and simple. Sometimes it's powerful. And we just let the Holy Spirit lead us. The important thing is not what happens to us as we're praying, but the fact that God is listening. Everybody say, God is listening. His eyes are upon the righteous, and his ears are open. I get excited. The volume goes up when I get excited and enthused. But it's not the volume that causes him to listen.
Thank you. God, have your way tonight, Lord God. God, we need your help tonight, Lord
yes,
God.
Yes.
Lord, we look to thee, Lord God. Bless tonight. Bless our families, Lord. We pray for those in authority, Lord God. God, we pray, Lord God, for a president, Lord God, and for those in authority, God.
Yes, God.
Help them, Lord. Save them, Lord. Save
yes,
those that are in authority that need to be saved, Lord. And the ones that are saved, help them to stand the truth, Lord
yes,
God.
Yes, Jesus.
Move by thy spirit, Lord
yes,
God.
Jesus.
Help us to look to thee, Lord God. Bless our nation, Lord God. Help them to turn, help us all to turn to you with the whole heart, Lord
Hallelujah.
God. But Lord, you're coming soon, Lord. But You're coming after people that's ready to meet you, Lord. So, God, save souls, Lord. Heal the sick. Move by thy spirit, Lord. Have your way, Lord. God, help us to walk by faith and not by sight, Lord. Help us to see you, Lord God. Yeah, move in this prayer tonight, Lord God. Help us to reach out to you by faith, Lord, and to love thee and to love one another, Lord God. Help my keto, my soul, my honda. Oh, work it out for you people, Lord God. Work things out, Lord God. Help us, help this nation to turn back to you, Lord God. Oh, my sake, oh, my mama. You said righteousness exalted the naked, but sin is a reproach to any people, Lord God.
About this lady that her and her husband went to China and Japan. They went to Japan and the war broke out. And she was just 20 years old. I don't know how old she was. But anyway, the war broke out and she was, her husband and one of their elder ministers was killed. She was in that camp for 4 years, and she never got one note from home or anything, you know. And she was, her body, she was just 28 years old, and her body was debilitated, and she was on the ship when they were liberated, on the ship heading out, and she said she prayed to the Lord a bitter prayer, and said, Lord, I've lost everything. I don't ever, ever want to see these islands again. And said as they were passing the area where they were missionaries to, and they had a church right before the war broke out that was growing. They had won a lot of souls to the Lord, but 4 years in a prison camp, you know, just drains everything out of you. You don't think about, well, she didn't know it, but God was still working.
Yeah.
And as the ship was passing the area where their mission work was, she heard voices from the hillside singing, God be with you till we meet again. By his counsels, guide, uphold thee. With his loving arms, enfold thee. God be with you till we meet again. And she said God broke something, started a healing process in her because she could hear those voices and she knew God was saying, it wasn't all in vain. I'm moving in this place, and what I do, it goes forth and performs. The work performs what I sent it to do. Yeah. And so the work of God is real.
It's
not brought by a man a woman. It's from God. And we are his servants. We are the ones that he flows through. And he flows through all of us to our world, you know?
Yes, he does.
But it's from God. Creator of the universe. We forget. He's the creator.
Yeah.
The world thinks it's an option to serve God or not. It's just, you know, it isn't. He made us. And one of these days, you know, I was going to say it. But I'm just so thankful, you know, for I was thinking about how there was a blood-bought gospel that we're partaking of today. And we're not, I mean, people are still shedding their blood, but not here. You know, we're reaping what brought this freedom to us. And I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful that we can look back and say, it was God.
Yes.
It wasn't man.
Yeah.
It was God. And he's still the same God. He's still, he doesn't get old. He still wants to show himself mighty in our behalf. I just thought that was wonderful about that lady. She went.
Man, one of the great titles given to Jesus, the most precious of his royal titles, is Prince of Peace. Because we live in a fallen world, and peace is a commodity that is of short supply as far as the world is concerned. In fact, it cannot supply lasting peace to any person on this planet. Can you say, man? But God can, and God does, and he does it through a person, his son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's why when the Bible said prophetic of his name should be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The most beloved of all those titles is Prince of Peace. That's the one that strikes such a chord within so many hearts. I'm ministering a message right now, returning to our resting place. And it has to do not only with Christians, but it has to do also with all people who are lost and away from God. Amen. And one of the statements I feel compelled to make over and over again, that the soul of man will never find rest until it finds its rest in God. Can you say amen? It's this peace that nothing can provide except God himself. And he does it through his son, Jesus Christ. So the Bible said, and the first mention of this man of peace coming, Shiloh is the title that is given to him. Amen. And it's in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 13. Yes, amen. Am I in the right? I will find it. It is here in Genesis. I said 49, didn't I? I may have lost it. 10. Somebody said 10. Oh, that's it. 10. I'm glad you said that. We were going to start at verse 1 and read until we found it. Praise God. Out loud. It's all good. But verse 10 is the specific scripture. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and to him shall be the gathering of the people be. Praise the Lord. That is a title given. I want us to prepare our hearts for another testimony again tonight from the Muslim world. You're going to hear more and more about the Muslim movement. And we need to understand clearly what God is doing in that movement. God is moving supernaturally. It's not a result of just missionaries and testimonies alone and preaching. That's a vital part of it all. But God is so intent on touching those people that are so blinded and so in error. You know, Satan would rather people worship a false god than to be an atheist. Because being an atheist leaves a spiritual vacuum. Worshiping a false god that promises to fill that is something that he would rather people do. So he sponsors all of the false religions. You say, well, why does he fight Christianity and leave the rest of them alone? Because none of the rest of them can save. Can you say, man, there's no other name given under heaven but Jesus for salvation. And he knows that. He sponsors them. He blesses them. And he blinds and binds those that get involved in it. Some of them are so steeped in it from their very knee high up. They're not like our kids, you know, that are not really steeped in Christianity. Amen. Like they ought to be. They ought to be steeped in Christianity. They ought to be rooted and grounded in the faith by the time they're 10 years old. But they're not. But I'll guarantee you these kids raised in that religion are. They are absolutely committed to their faith. And they're serious about it at 10 years of age. And it gets really solidified in them. But this is a spiritual thing. And God is breaking through to open the eyes of the blind, even religiously. And I'm so happy to report that the Lord is fulfilling Acts chapter 4. They prayed, Lord, behold the threat to the gospel. Amen. Whatever that threat form it may take, the same prayer is appropriate. Amen. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs. And this was not just because they were apostles. They wasn't asked. They were. They said the gospel is threatened itself. And to we ask you to stretch forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. And God is visiting the Muslim world, and many people are meeting Jesus that have never listened to a Christian minister preach. But they're meeting Jesus because he's just flat out appearing to them. And that encounter changes them, and then they go out with such zeal with their personal testimony to see other Muslims come to know Jesus as their Savior. This is an incredible day when the supernatural, God is supernaturally invading this planet, praise God, to bring people that may have sincere hearts that are sincerely mistaken, amen, to bring them to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Remember the scripture that the sinful generation seeketh a sign, and yet no sign shall be given. And if someone has a heart to not believe and just stomps their foot and say, you show me something, you make something happen right now, and then I'll believe. He said, no, I won't do a thing for them. But if someone has a seeking heart and is really looking for truth, and they're over there in error, God will perform a sign to them, because they're not an unbeliever. They're just a believer in the wrong thing. There's a vast difference. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And so he said that signs and wonders would attend the preaching and proclaiming of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody said when the last apostle died. Amen. That's when the signs and wonders quit. Well, they forgot another 70. The Bible said there was not just those that followed him immediately, the 12, but there was another 70 that he sent forth, and they began to cast out devils and preach the gospel with signs following. And not only another 70, but it just kept going on and on and on and on. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And even as the Father sent me, he said, so send I you. Glory be to God. And the gospel did not come in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Praise God. So I just want you to just see and hear in just a moment what God is doing in the Muslim world. I want you to prepare your heart for this. Amen. We're just going to have a little excerpt, not 10 minutes, just about 3 minutes. Amen. In French Equatorial West Africa and in the French language in Africa, to hear the name Shiloh, which is Shiloh. Amen. They know who he is. You'll also hear Yeshua, which is our Jesus. Of course, he is our Shiloh. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Part of the translation is, pour your life into me, O Shiloh. Give him a praise before we change this order tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you so much. We can't wait till Shiloh comes.
le chemin que tu as tracé pour moi. Le chemin, Seigneur, de la destinée. Le chemin, Seigneur, de la vérité. Alléluia. Enlève le faux qui est en moi, Seigneur, et mets ta vie, Jésus. J'ai besoin de toi, Seigneur.
We love you, Jesus. You can fade that. We love you, Jesus. In every language, hallelujah is the same. In every language, worship tugs at the heart toward God. And I'm so glad to see Jesus being worshiped all over the world tonight. Praise God. Amen. While so many American Christians are seeing what's on television right now, there are people in crowds like that, amen, lifting up the name and praying that Shiloh comes soon. Praise God. What a mighty God we serve tonight. I see faces out there that need a smile. I hope they're changed before this service is over. I can't give you my peace, but I can point you to Shiloh tonight. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. I wish I could give it to you. I'd share it with you. Amen. Let's look at what God is doing in the Muslim world. Don't throw in the towel because of this mighty movement. There's a lot of people join this movement, and they get the statistics on people coming into it. But when they find out what it's about, they jump back out of it. So it's not all those statistics are very accurate, but it is a very powerful, persuasive, swiftly moving movement. It is influencing the politics of nations right now because of this religious movement. And so we need to pray that God will visit, amen, the Muslim people and show them Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Praise God. 48% of the Muslim in the United States of America believe that there are Muslim first, there are American second. Our purpose is to change this culture because they're infidel, and what they're doing is not pleasing to Allah, and we are the soldier of Allah who will make them do it.
Kamal Salim was born in Lebanon to a devout Muslim family. As early as 4 years old, he remembers sitting at the kitchen table while his mother taught him about the Quran and his duty to Allah and jihad.
From my childhood, my mom said, "One day you'll be a martyr, my son. You will die for the sake of Allah and you will exalt Islam." She said, "If you kill a Jew, my son, well, your hand will light up before the throne of Allah, and the host of heaven will celebrate what you have done."
Kamal was 7 when his parents sent him to Muslim training camps to learn to use weapons and engage and kill the enemy. The boys were also taught another, more subtle form of warfare.
We were training for what's called culture jihad, which is shifting cultures. Culture jihad is... it's unlike the sword, unlike the rifle, it is the jihad that will come into your world.
By his 20s, Kamal was chosen to wage cultural jihad on America.
In Islam, liberty, freedom, monarchy, all these are idols, and these must be brought down. So the liberty that you have in the United States of America, it's anti-Islam. You know, so America must be changed. So I moved to the Bible Belt specifically. The Bible Belt was the strongest of strongest. That's where the stout Christians are. And I want to take on the best of the best because I considered myself as a sword of Islam. I thought I'm anointed, I'm unique, I'm selected. I'm coming to a country and a culture to change it, and I have the power of Allah with me.
In the early 1980s, Kamal entrenched himself in a small Midwestern town. He began targeting men from poor neighborhoods to recruit them to the Muslim faith. But one afternoon, his life would be in the hands of those he hated the most.
I was going from one place to another to do a recruitment, and that day I had a car wreck. The car wreck was so severe, I ejected out of my car, landed on my neck, broke my neck in 2 places. This man came running to me, and he said, "Don't worry, we're going to take care of you, and everything's going to be all right." The ambulance came and picked me up. And now I go to the hospital, the orthopedic surgeon in the emergency room looked at my chart and he just said, "Son, we are going to take care of you and everything's going to be all right." The second day I wake up in the hospital and this head of physical therapy come and read my chart. And he turned around and he said the same thing word for word, "We are going to take care of you."
At first, Kamal was frightened by their words because these men were all Christians.
You see, in terrorism, if they said, "We're going to take care of you," you'd better run.
Surgeries to repair Kamal's broken neck were successful, but recovery would take weeks. After being discharged from the hospital, he would need someone to care for him while he recuperated. Kamal had no one. So the orthopedic surgeon opened up his own home to this stranger.
In his home, they put me in the choicest room and the most beautiful thing. I became like part of their family. They didn't see me any different. And now they have a basket set for Kamal. They put in money to free my bills from the hospital.
Kamal was overwhelmed with the outpouring of Christian love. As he recovered, he began to help out around the house with cooking and cleaning.
They have Jewish friends that came from Israel that they support, you know. And now I'm hugging Israelis and I'm cooking for Jews. I'm going, what has happened to me?
When Kamal was able to take care of himself and return to his apartment, the doctor had another surprise for him.
He said, this is the keys to the house, and here's an extra key. This is your new car. We just want to bless you. You can come anytime you want. So I go to my home, and I go to my cold place that I haven't been there in months, and dust is this thick. And I just got to settle this issue with my God to know that if it's real or not. So I walk inside, I shut the door, I go right in the eastern window, and I fall on my knees, and I put my hands to the heavens, and I cry up to my God. Allah, Allah, my Lord and my King, why have you done such a thing to me? I'm okay with the car wreck. I'm okay with all this, but why did you put me among Christians? I'm confused. These Christians and Jews, they're good people. There's nothing wrong with them. They don't want to kill us. They're not the same thing that I learned about them. Allah, these people have relationship with their God. These people, they cry out to the God and they answer them. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear you love me. If you're real, speak to me. I want to hear your voice. Guess what Allah said that day? Absolutely nothing.
Kamal felt that because he questioned his faith, the honorable thing to do was to end his own life.
So I went to reach out my guns and put it in the right place and clock out. I heard the voice. The voice knew me by name. He said, Kamal, 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 why don't you call on God of Father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? And now I fell on my knees and I put my hands to the heavens immediately as I heard the voice. And I cried out with every fiber within me, God the Father Abraham, if you are real, would you speak to me? God the Father Abraham, if you are real, I want to know you. Well, God the Father Abraham came to the room and he filled the room with his glory. And his name was Yahweh. The Lord is one. In his hand, he has holes in his hand. He has holes in his feet. His name is Jesus. I said to him, who are you, my Lord? Who are you? He said, I am that I am. I said, I'm a simple man with a simple mind. What is that supposed to mean? He said, I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the beginning. I am the end. I am everything that is in between. I have known you before I formed the foundation of the earth. I have loved you before I formed you in your mother womb. Rise up. Rise up, Kamal. Kum. You are my warrior. You are not their warrior. And I said to him, I said, my Lord, I will live and die for you. He said, do not die for me. I died for you that you may live.
That day, instead of taking his life, Kamal gave it to Jesus. He now has a new mission and travels the country challenging Muslims to question their allegiance to Allah.
My heart desire is to reach out for my brothers and sisters, the Muslim out there, 1.5 billion Muslim, that they are living out there and they have not tasted freedom and that freedom in God.
It's been over 20 years since Kamal left the Islamic faith, and even threats of violence and death cannot stop him from sharing his story.
He is real. You know, and if you never experienced God before in your life, if you never tasted God, and if you think you got nothing to lose, when you're sitting in your home, whether you're a Muslim or a non-Muslim or a non-Christian or whatever you are, say, call on God of Father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and say, if you are real, speak to me. I want to hear your voice.
You know, it begins with loving people that don't love us, that hate us, may want to kill us, but loving people, loving them unconditionally, not letting denomination become sectarian, become some kind of political movement, which it isn't. It has nothing to do with that. Real Christian faith reaches out to a lost and dying world. We understand people are blinded by the enemy of our soul, and we want desperately to see people come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. One of the things that is happening in the Muslim world, I want to reiterate it again, is that people are having visions, people are having dreams, people are encountering Christ without a missionary. It's because, I believe, not because the missionary effort should cease at all, or the preaching or the sharing. The issue is the hour is very late. And with all the efforts that we could put into it, we simply can't reach all that God wants to save. So God Himself is coming and making an appearance to those that have the kind of heart that says, I'm seeking truth. I may be in error, but I'm sincerely wrong. But if He sees that heart seeking truth, He's going to reveal that truth. He's going to reveal Himself. He's going to answer the intercessory prayer of the apostles and of His followers today. Lord, the gospel is threatened by false religions. The gospel is threatened by an apostate church. The gospel is threatened by preachers and leaders who are not standing and holding the true to the faith. Behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants, amen, that with all boldness we may speak thy word. How? By backing us up when we speak it. Can you say, man, what gives us the confidence to declare Jesus is that power is going to attend that. When we preach the gospel, the power of God is going to manifest. Whether we see an outward miracle or not, there's going to be a power to push back that darkness. There's going to be a power released as the gospel is preached to open those blinded eyes. There's going to be a power released to pierce that deceived heart and let the light of the glory of the gospel shine into that heart. Can you say, man, praise God? There's going to be power from on high. Amen. That power was to preach the gospel. That power was to bear witness to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And God is showing Himself in Jericho. There's a church of 600, and a lot of them are ex-Muslim that attend, and healings are taking place, and it's right at the place where the Jordan River, where they crossed over into the promised land. It's right at that spot. And God is, one lady gave her testimony that she said, I had a dream, and in this dream, this man appeared to me, and he came to me, and he called me by name, and he said, I am Jesus. And she wept and worshiped him, and she said, I came to church to find out. She had already met this man before she ever got to church or heard the gospel, and she came to hear about him and gave her heart and life to him. That means God is showing up in places we would never dream. If all the vision is gone out of you, if all the life is drained out of you, if all of the sense of purpose down here has you've lost the energy and you're just drudging along, God wants you to catch the vision. Hallelujah. You may not be moving with God, but God is on the move. Can you say, man? I'm so excited about a move of God in my generation. Hallelujah. God showing up and showing out. Hallelujah. And confirming His word in my generation. Hallelujah. In our day, I am convinced we are in the kingdom for a time, Brother Taylor, such as this. Amen. Brother Taylor, we're getting up in years. Amen. I get to go on Medicare in 6 months. Boy, amen, I can get rid of that high-priced health insurance. Amen. I can't wait to talk to my dad's goofy doctor. Can you say, man? Oh, what a thrill that. I'm so glad I know Jesus. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Amen. I told my dad, I said, in 6 months, I'm going on Medicare, and I'll get to go to your doctor. He said, I'll be praying, son. I mean, he's getting kind of senile and out there, but he knew that. Praise God. God is good tonight. Hallelujah. God is moving tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we pray collectively here. We pray that you will move. to reveal yourself to those who are seeking, but they don't know you. You're doing a quick work of righteousness. We believe it's because Jesus is coming very soon. You are showing up. You are showing up. You are revealing yourself. Missionaries will still go. Preachers will still preach. But oh, we're so glad that you are moving by your Spirit. You are changing terrorists, amen, to defenders of the faith. You are appearing to them. You are manifesting yourself to them. Father, you are leading this mighty battle against the forces of darkness. You have went out before us, Father. Help us to understand the power of this gospel, to pierce the darkness, to penetrate the human heart. Hallelujah, praise God. Help us to be about our Father's business. Help us to lift our eyes and look upon the fields that are white and ready unto harvest. Father, I know everyone will not share this vision, but Lord, this is that last day, last thrust of the gospel. We're putting in the sickle one more time. We're working while it is day. Hallelujah, because the night is coming. The night is coming. The night is coming when no man will be able to work anymore. But now, Lord, your holy anointing is upon us. Now the doors are open before us. Now the enemy is pushed back. Hallelujah. And the light is shining. The light is shining in the darkness. And the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. For Shiloh has come. And his scepter is in his hand. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Praise God. Save the lost. Heal those that are sick with sin tonight, oh God. Open the eyes of the spiritually blind tonight. Set the spiritually bound free tonight. Revive your church tonight, oh God. Stir us, Lord. For we are in the kingdom for such a time as this. Go ahead and pray to him. Intercede. Out of your bellymost being. This is why God baptized you in the Holy Ghost. He invested that water in you so it could rise up. Hallelujah. And flow through us. And it begins with intercession. Hallelujah. He maketh intercession according to the will of God. Hallelujah. Praying for people you don't know. Praying for people you may never meet here, but you'll meet them in heaven. Praying for people you do know, but praying. Hallelujah. God knows how to reach them. God knows how to touch them. God knows what it's going to take. Praying. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in the will of God. Some he's going to love into the kingdom. Others are going to have a car wreck that's going to bring a mighty, mighty, wonderful event. And hallelujah, life-changing event. God knows what to do. God knows how to do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let him loose. Ooh, pray in the Spirit and turn God loose. Hallelujah. Mokalaba, Oh, Father. Oh, Father God. Move by your Spirit, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is already answering prayers. Hallelujah. He said, I'm so anxious. It will come to pass that before you ask, because I know I'm going to ask, and I know you're going to ask, and I know I can put it in your heart to pray, it shall come to pass that before you ask, I am already expediting the answer. I'm already setting it in motion, because I know you're going to pray for it, and it's so vital, it's so important that before you pray, I will answer. Hulaba, that's a God who is ready, willing, and able. Can you say amen? Oh, what an anxious God to move. Oh, hallelujah. Can you see the Holy Spirit going? Can you see it like a mighty rushing wind? Hallelujah. Going, 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 going. Hallelujah. Shalamarote. Going into the bar room. Shalaba, going into the courtroom, going into the White House, going into the whorehouse. God is going by His Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see God going tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Friend, that mighty rushing wind is still blowing. That mighty rushing wind is still blowing. Amen. Blow upon the Muslim world tonight. Breathe upon them, O God. Hola baroshala bari, nanda da bokasa, leta da baroshala, hanamakita. Hallelujah. Mikala boshala bari, nanda da basada. We launch a holy war for their souls tonight. We launch a jihad for their souls tonight. Halamakisha. We don't want their harm. We want their deliverance. We want revelation to come. Hita da baroshala ba, he kala bari nanda da. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And Father, I pray that you will address the coldness in your church, the callousness in the hearts of so many believers, oh, that are so overburdened, their hearts overcharged with surfeiting drunkenness and the cares of this life, Lord, that they don't understand what we're doing here. What is our real purpose? Oh, that we would give everything to you and be about our Father's business. I believe you would take care of our business if we'll be about your business. I don't have time to answer my critics. Amen. I've got a harvest. Amen. To reach out to. Praise God. I want to see a harvest. Some of the things they say about me are probably true, but God is using me in spite of all my faults and my failures. God is using me because my heart is burning with a passion to see people come to know Him. Hallelujah. 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 I want everybody that finds fault with this ministry to outrun me to the harvest field. Outrun me to the harvest field, because that's where I'm headed and that's where I'm running. Shalabakosa, salabari tataramaro. Hallelujah. God didn't send me here to argue doctrine. God sent me here to seek. Hallelujah. Those that don't know Him, to tell them about Him. God's going to separate the tares from the wheat. He said, let them alone. You're going to pull up the wheat preaching that negative. Let them alone. There are people in every church that are phonies. Let them alone. Go on and get about your Father's business. Don't look at them. Look at Him. Hallelujah. 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 Gonna pull up wheat with the tares, preaching that negativism. won't put our hand in nobody else's hand because they don't see it eye to eye the way we see it. Honey, anybody in the harvest field is my brother, my companion in labor, my fellow soldier. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I glory that Christ is preached. How about you? I glory that Christ is preached today. Because if Jesus is preached, people will be saved. If Jesus is preached, people will be delivered. If Jesus is preached, people will be set free. Hallelujah. There are people preaching Jesus for the wrong reason. But thank God, Jesus is preached. God will deal with them on the judgment day. But right now, amen, Jesus is saving the lost. Jesus is delivering the captive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. That wind wasn't supposed to die down once they were filled with the Holy Ghost. That wind was to come up. Jesus described it as a river springing up from within. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And the wind, we used to sing it, Sister Venable, the wind is blowing again. Can you say amen? Listen, I got to close with this in my part of this, and you can pray more if you want to, but listen, there's a great army to be defeated. There's a battle plan from God to a leader God had commanded. His name is David. David is a mighty warrior, and God gives him the battle plan. He said the way to defeat this army is surprise attack. Don't go out and face them head on. Use some wisdom here along with my anointing. Go around and come around behind them. It's going to be a sneak attack. They're looking for you to come out and face them. And isn't it going to be a surprise when you show up, amen, at their rear? And come in behind them. And he assembled his army. Stealthily they crept in behind the very enemy. They knew the terrain their enemy did not. They were able to hide and sneak around behind them. We got them. They're in our hands. And oh, the captain of war, he knows God has given them the battle plan. He knows David is a great leader. They're so confident. They have God's anointing and God's appointment to overcome this enemy. And David is waiting. David is standing there waiting. He gets real impatient. He says to his king and his captain, he says, why are we waiting? Let's attack them. Amen. God gave us the plan. Here we are. We got the plan, and here we are. Let's attack them. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? David said, we're waiting. We're waiting. I'm looking at a particular tree among the trees. I'm looking at a mulberry tree. Amen. And when that tree, and it's a calm day, you understand. And no other tree is going to be affected but that one tree. Amen. I'm looking at that one tree and I'm waiting to see something. I'm waiting to see that one tree. Amen. That one tree. One tree out of all the trees. Amen. I'm watching for that one tree. To bow under a mighty rushing wind. Can you say amen? Amen. Why are you waiting for that? Because then we'll know that the Lord has went out before us. Can you say amen? We've had the great commission. Amen. For a long time. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We've canvassed neighborhoods in Sulphur Springs and got little or no result. But it's different when we pray in intercession like this and we wait on the Lord, and what we do, directed by Him, we wait for the mighty rushing wind, and we know God has went out before us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. And I believe with all of my heart the wind is blowing again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's why all the trouble, that's why all the turmoil, that's why all the tumult, amen, that's why all these things are happening. My dad is in a running battle with the devil that he loses without help, frankly. He just never learned much at church, and there's a lot of people been to church for years, never learned much, never got rooted and grounded, and when the real tests come, they didn't have what they needed. It shocks me, and it rocks me, and it makes me want to get deeper into God than I have ever been. Can you you say amen. Amen. Because we assume certain things. But my dad knows enough, and he told me this. He said, Bobby, I believe that the devil being able to capitalize on me like this, to get me like this into the state he gets me in. And he began to weep. He said, it's designed, amen, to stop you because of what God is using you to accomplish. For yea, I am with thee, my hand is upon thee, and I will give you grace sufficient, and I will give you strength beyond your own means, saith God. If you set your hand to the plow and don't look back, I will give you the strength, I will give you the grace, I will give you the help that you need. I will supply all that is diminished from you, saith the Lord, and I will still cause you to overflow, even in the midst of things that would normally stop you, saith God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's don't look back. Let's don't look back. Forgetting the things. Where are they? All of it. That are where? Behind. And reaching forth to what? What is before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Well, I believe God has heard our prayer. You feel it come strong, and then you feel it kind of wane. And you know, well, God has listened. And if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. We know that He hears us. We know that we have the petition that we've desired of Him. And David Hobbs is here just in time to give a great amen to this intercession tonight. Hallelujah. You can't hide behind that beard, brother. I'd know you anywhere. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say amen, David. Amen. I thought of David the other night when he used to sing, I have returned to the God of my childhood. We got to do that again sometime, brother. God is, we're returning to God. God is returning to us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, brother. We've got a video. We're going to go home with something sweet to quit off on tonight. And I love the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go home on this song tonight. You can sing it. Do you know it? Amen. Hallelujah. In the book of Revelation, and by the way, this is intercession night. I say I'm not going to preach, but I preach along the way. You're going to have to get in here, get with the program. Well, if you insist, no, I'm just kidding you. I'm just kidding you. Hallelujah. We're so glad you're here tonight. And your guests, we're so glad you came tonight. You can turn that light back on if you would like so we can see each other. Praise the Lord. We've designated Sunday night as a night of intercession for revival. And we are praying and we're seeing videos of revival all around the world and being inspired by what God is doing around our world. Praise God. Amen. Again, I want to point you to that flat globe back there. That's where the gospel is going from this little church to the nations of the world. And all of those pins represent nations and peoples that are hearing the gospel from our website. And we are so grateful to have a plethora, can I use that term, of nations that are coming all the way from Australia to the Antarctic, from the UK, all the way to China and Korea. We're so grateful for what the Lord is doing tonight. He's the Lion of Judah. Amen. Hallelujah. He is our Shiloh tonight. Let's sing this song before we dismiss tonight. We're sorry you guys missed it. We're going to have to get you on our schedule around here because we're so glad to have. This guy picked me up, my dad up, my mother up. Boy, now I'm going to date both of us here tonight. I'm going to put us in that. Amen. Because, amen. He picked us up and took us to church. Praise God. When we lived in Belmont Heights, we were on Comanche Avenue. And I was knee-high to a grasshopper. Amen. I was the little grasshopper that God talks about. And thank you, sir, for loving our family. Thank you for investing in us. I'm part of keeping a guy like me in church was real important because the devil sure wanted me to follow him. But God changed all of that, and people have been in our life. And, sir, I bless you tonight. I didn't get to know you then. I'm looking forward to knowing you now. Thank you for picking up this family, taking us to God's house. Praise God. Hallelujah. Give this man a hand clap tonight, this preacher of the gospel. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, you don't always get to see who you invest in spiritually and what happened to them and what's going on. But we're in our 38th year of ministry in this city. God's given us a little radio, the outreach that he's taken all over the world. And he's given us a website, and he's doing things that we couldn't do in this little number here. Just this incredible what the Lord has done, and more incredible what he's going to do. Thank you, my brother. We love you tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing this song before we dismiss tonight.